Studio 511. It's the 272nd edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Chris.
You did it right.
It only took 271.
Yes.
Give or take a couple.
Took. God,
Chris, this long.
Chris, happy Valentine's.
Today's Valentine's Day?
Today's Valentine's Day.
I thought today was Rusev Day.
Today.
Valentine's Day.
Yes. So that being said, you didn't think these were for you, did you?
No,
I didn't. No, you can have them. I don't know.
You were looking at those the way Braun looks at bases.
I'm not finished with you.
You haven't even started.
Hi. So yes. And also, happy Rusev Day.
Happy Rusev Day.
Yes.
Machka.
Putria. All right. Anybody joining us live? Thank you so much. We very much appreciate it. And yeah, it's Valentine's, so you're by yourself. It's okay. We kind of are technically right now, even though I'm married. But whatever. We're here because wrestling's important and cool. And we're cool. So if you're watching us live, thank you so much. I will log in here momentarily to our live feed. That way you could chat with us if you log into your YouTube or Google account app. And then you could, you know, ask us questions, fact check us, talk shit, just say hi, whatever. I'll see it and I'll try to involve you in the show. If you are not watching us live, that's okay. You can still interact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/HoustonWrestlingRadio, or on Twitter at HWrestlingRadio. So,
bottoms up. Did this feel like another week of filler? Yeah. So let's get the hour stuff out of the way first. Mm-hmm. Any impression on 205 Live? Fun episode.
Mm-hmm.
We need close captioning.
I know I'm from Houston, so I was supposed to like Shipley's better than I like Krispy Kreme.
Don't.
But I like Shipley's better than I like Krispy Kreme.
Thank you. Krispy Kreme's only cool when you walk in and they give you the first donut free, so that means you can be a cheapskate and not have to buy a whole dozen. But then after like 45 minutes, they're paperweights.
Yeah.
Shipley's.
Well, the bread becomes a paperweight.
Yeah.
But the icing on top just oozes off and turns into like water.
Like mutagen.
Yeah. Like it's not good. Stay how they're supposed to all day.
From 205, there are only two options. The second option. Mm. So it was Gabagulak against Tony Nese. Mm-hmm. That could be my pick.
That might be my pick as well.
That could be my pick. And that's just me from a personal standpoint. One of the few things that has kept me invested in a 205 Live brand / show / loser weights. And Gulak went bananas, dude.
Gulak did go bananas. I was very impressed with the mean streak, I guess you say, of Gulak in this match. Holy crap. I didn't think the dude had it in him, and I didn't think this match warranted it, but the commentary made me be like, oh, okay, maybe it does warrant it, or maybe he's just crazy, which I'm cool with that. That's where they're going with the storyline.
My only nit to pick, if anything, glorious, was I might have saved that match for the second round at least. To show that Gulak's a threat. Like, we already seen him in the Cruiserweight Classic. We know he can wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
But to see that he could go that far, I would have saved that at least for the second round. Or I'm guessing that would have been the semifinals? Yeah.
Yeah, I think the Cruiserweight Classic had – no, the Mae Young Classic had a few like that where it's like, oh. Well, I think even the Cruiserweight Classic. I don't know. I just remember thinking, damn. But I think if – like, before the match happened, I was like, okay, whatever. I didn't have the same feeling after. Like, going into it, I was like, okay, well, it's a first-round match, whatever. But after I saw it, I was like, damn, that shouldn't have been a first-round match. But again, that's just because of the story that was told in the ring and by the commentators day of. If they built it up a little bit more, I know last week there was a thing where they were backstage and, you know, it was Rockstar Spud, whatever they're calling him, came up to us like, hey, you guys used to be friends or whatever, and you guys are, you know, whatever, y'all having a match next week. And that was all the build we had. But if the build had been another week of them really hit home, oh, yeah, they used to be friends, they used to this and that, da, 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 and maybe a little bit more tension between them, then get to this match.
Not all even right. realize until after the second match was over that, holy shit, they have to meet each other in the next round. And the realization, like somebody, like Drew Gulak could have sold it very well just through facial expressions, like realizing, uh-oh, I just won, but now I got Tony Nese next.
Yeah.
you know, that extra
week. And then Tony Nese being egotistical asshole about it. It's like, oh, what? I know this guy like backwards and forwards. Yeah. And I work out more than you. None of that. Like, oh, yeah, that could have been something. The only thing that kind of brings it down for me a little bit is the complaint you always have that I'm always like, nah, I poo-poo on it. But the complaint is the crowd wasn't involved.
The crowd didn't care.
I mean, I cared because I wasn't part of the crowd. I was sitting on my couch watching the TV, and I could have easily turned it off or whatever. Paid attention to my phone instead. But I like really wanted to pay attention to this match because I liked them, and they grabbed me. They kept me. But they didn't grab and keep the guys in the arena that night, which, man, that sucks because part of that is WWE, the way they structure their shows, and, you know, they had to sit through all of SmackDown and then, you know, the mixed match and then 205. And
they're burnt.
You know, yeah, they're burnt. And and the last thing they see at the end of the night is the main event, quote unquote, of 205 Live, which, let's all be honest, isn't all that exciting when you could have had like, oh, you know, Cena versus AJ or some shit like that at the end of the night. You know, that's not as consequential in the grander scheme of the universe, the WWE universe, quote unquote. So I can see how they're not excited because, you know, they're tired too. But forget about all that. I was almost willing. But you want to talk about the first match from that evening?
I was surprised that Mark and you know what? The first one hurt me a little more because of the same complaint that the crowd wasn't in it. I couldn't give a fuck about the crowd in the second match because I was invested. That's all that mattered to me.
Right.
But that first match, I didn't know how Andrews and Tozawa were going to gel. And the fact that the crowd wasn't buying it, I just don't see Mark Andrews fitting into this division. There's something that...
Oh, that's a hot take right there. Why is that? Is it because he's like a 30-something-year-old dude who's wearing a backwards hat and trying to do the hey-ho? You know, white guy?
He plays in a band. So his own theme song is his own actual music. So that you can skate under the radar with that.
Yeah. Okay, so it's not that.
I think his character – it's weird because 205's already given me the impression that you have to wrestle because the characters there aren't cutting it. They had to get characters from outside. The only character that they've developed that they fleshed out has been Gulak. Tony Nese is on the come up, but that's you're still working on
Tony Nese. Tozawa was on the come up too.
Yeah. I think Andrews is already ready for the main roster.
205 isn't technically the main roster?
Oh, hell no.
No?
Well, you're getting crickets because you're like the last hour people are ready. Yeah, I think Andrews is ready to fit in on like Raw or SmackDown already. I think he's above. I kind of think he's above the division of the 205.
Really? Because when you first said that you didn't think he belonged, I thought you meant like he wasn't good enough for 205, much less the main roster. But you went the opposite direction where I thought you were saying. You're saying that he's ready for prime time.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not feeling you on that one myself, but I'm okay with him being in 205. Him getting this upset victory over. Over Akira Tozawa.
Your cool finger, by the way.
I cut it while I was cooking today. I just sliced the tip of my finger.
But you're right-handed, though, right?
Yeah, I'm right-handed.
Okay, so
I'm fine.
You're fine. Well, that's okay. Okay. Yeah. The biggest shocker for me throughout the entire night was actually the development and the introduction, Buddy Murphy.
Yes.
Mr. Alexa Bliss.
Mr. 204.4. So if you round it, you round it down to 204. You can't even round it up to 205. So yeah, 204.4. All right. That was a nice little video package. Hey, I was in NXT as NXT champion. We were on top of the world. Lost the title. So Wayne become part of 205 Live, which even though we share on 205 and they're like, ah, it's not as important, this and that, whatever. These are the kind of steps that you need to take to make it more important. A guy who would presumably go to the main roster, be like, no, I want to cut weight so I could be in the 205 division. Whoa. Okay, that's kind of a big deal. That's the kind of shit you need to do, man.
I was hoping we would get that with Goldust, like have a build like on camera, but this off camera thing just felt just as fine for me. To be honest, because I knew who it was. Mm-hmm. I guess.
I mean, if we saw, I mean, and it's not just saw people cutting weight to get in there, although that is one thing, but people wanting to be in 205 that are recognizable. For example, Hideo. Yeah, Hideo's been there, and you know, he hasn't really done a whole lot, but he didn't really do a lot in NXT either. Mm-hmm. But this was kind of an opportunity to be like, hey, this guy wants to come to 205 Live. He wants to compete for the Cruiserweight title. And that kind of makes the belt seem more prestigious and the division seem more prestigious. So those are the kind of things. Yeah, those are the kind of things that you got to do to make it, you know, a little bit more shiny.
That's it for the 205.
All right. Seth, welcome. Thank you for joining us. He says baseball's back. It is. Pitchers and catchers reported for spring training this week. So, hey, baseball. You are wearing your fucking World Series hat.
Yeah, but this ain't October. We're in fucking February. Damn. Call me in August, September.
All right. Porsche sitting on the couch says Gulak was a beast in championship wrestling from Hollywood. Okay, I believe you. I believe you. I have watched a little bit of championship.
He's in better shape now than he was when we first saw him in the Cruiserweight Classic.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. All right. So that's that. All right. So that's NXT 205. What else we got?
No, that's 205.
Oh, we haven't talked about NXT. Yeah.
But before we get there,
sorry.
Been waiting to do this all night.
Oh.
Because something happened last night.
Do I need to get another donut?
No, we're gonna need your complete participation because. Yeah. Lana is the best. Lana's number one. Her first win.
Machka.
Her first win on WWE television.
Yes. Well,
television.
Right.
Facebook Live.
Right.
Against Bayley in this mixed match challenge. What do you think of the match?
It was pretty good. I didn't quite pay enough attention to it as I should have. But she tried to go and use the foreign object, and Russo was like, no, you can't use that. And then,
step away from the guitar.
Step away. And Elias was like, come on. And he's like,
then Russo drops the guitar and runs like hell.
Yeah. It was cute.
Yeah.
I like it.
It was fun, man. I think I'm the most surprised out of everyone because even I didn't think the Mix Challenge was going to be this entertaining.
Okay.
It has been very entertaining so far. Hot take number two.
Oh.
If they really want to make it interesting.
Oh.
Next week. Mm-hmm. Someone's wrestling next week in this mixed mass challenge that's got my attention.
Who?
Exactly.
I don't even know. Like, woo! I don't know what's going on next week. Charlotte?
Yeah, Charlotte and Bobby Roode are teaming up next week.
Oh, okay.
So how convenient would it be if, say, someone with a briefcase on Facebook Live?
Oh!
After the match?
Oh! Carmella cashes in after the Mixed Max Challenge. Mixed Match. Everybody fucks up saying that. Mixed Match Challenge. Wow! That would actually, you know, make it to watch. Because right now, there's questions as to whether or not this is canon. And when you brought up the thing about, hey, this is the first time Lana has won, Porsche had to point it out to me that they said that. Thus, that answers the question of, is this canon? Then I guess it is, because if they say this is the first time she's ever had a fucking win, then all right, it counts.
Yep.
Count it.
Put it on the record book.
Yeah. So then why not? Why not have Carmella run up in there, cash in after she loses, after her and Bobby Roode lose, and then boom, cash in the money in the bank. It doesn't matter if it's successful or not, if it's a successful cash in, but as long as the bell rings and there's a match and it happens, like, oh shit, we had a cash in. Holy fuck. Yeah, that'd be amazing. Yeah.
That's it for the MMC. That was pretty quick. One match, 20 minutes. I'm digging the show, man. For anybody... the network. It's uploaded on the network. 2 days later. Tornado Tag, main eventing NXT's episode last week, not tonight.
Now, I was saying that I wanted my match of the week to be the main event of 205 Live. No, I think that got supplanted by this match, the main event of NXT. I watched them out of order. But, I just thought that it was really, really fun. I loved all the false finishes and the saves. Eric Young whacking them with the kendo stick. Eric Young dropping the elbow. Then we had
Eric Young ducking the super kick from Cole to hit Cole with a super kick of his own.
Then Killian Dayton fighting off all three of them to get the upper hand in the match. That was kind of a turning point in the match. Damn, it was good. It was really fun. I'm a little confused as to what's going to happen here because it wasn't the match at the beginning of the show. It was supposed to be a tag team match for the tag team titles. Mm-hmm. And then Regal said, no, we're going to end this tonight by a six-man tag, but not for the title. So whoever wins, it's not ended tonight. So basically, Sanity, who won, can say, hey, we won.
We're better than you.
Yeah,
leave us alone.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though you have the titles.
Yeah, even though you have the titles. Yeah, so it's like, well, no, there needs to be a title match now. So they're not ending it tonight. So I don't know. That's the one thing that kind of like stuck in my craw a little bit about that. But the match itself was fucking great.
Yeah, I agree.
There. I think that's my pick.
You'd be a little more confident. You're like,
the reason why I'm unconfident is because your pick is what my original pick was. Which was the main event for 205 Live. I'm trying to either sway you or sway me so that we have a little bit of a...
There's nothing wrong with diversifying.
Oh, okay.
Keep your pick.
Well, see, I had the one with the chocolate sprinkles. Maybe I should diversify it to the... Ooh, the pink one. This one has an imperfection on it, so I'm going to put it out of its misery. See right there? This is kind of smooshed in right there.
Very thoughtful of you.
Yeah.
He with his own imperfections. Go for the eyes. Don't let him see anymore. Thumbs up or thumbs down on Gargano's promo?
Thumbs up. Finger. If I could put my finger on there.
You think he's actually winning this?
Hell no.
Hell no.
Hell no.
He gone from NXT.
He's a lovable loser, and he's gone. He's going to the main event roster. And just like Sami Zayn, he's going to lose for like 3 years and then turn heel and then get a couple of important wins, and then maybe he'll become something.
What about the feud with Ciampa? You're telling me Ciampa just on one leg for 9-10 months, and all of a sudden you're going to continue the feud on the main roster?
He's gone. He's on the main roster. Oh, well. Put that shit on simmer. You know what? Have that shit piss off Ciampa even more. I never got here or whatever when he finally gets called up to
so
the
Ciampa
main roster.
Feuds with Almas because Almas got rid of Gargano, and then Ciampa wins the belt, and then Gargano's even more pissed because he can't go back to get vengeance.
And he is just full of angst and piss and vinegar, and he becomes a Sicilian psychopath yet again.
Chat me up about Sabatelli getting ditched by Riddick Moss.
Good. I mean, I don't know if that was a full-on official 100% we're broken up kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think it was planting the seeds, and it was a pretty big-ass seed. But
Moss is kind of a big bitch.
He is. He's a huge bitch. I didn't like their team ever.
Really?
I was always like waiting for them to show me something to be impressed with them, whether or not they were a heel or babyface. And I was like, okay, the stuff they're doing with the Street Profits is all right. But
it's
then,
getting the Street Profits more over than them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I was like just waiting and waiting and waiting. And then it's like, okay, y'all want to break them up? Sure, why not? The Maserati driving, cocky, super arrogant heel works more for Sabatelli, but I want to see Moss be his own guy and do something a little bit different, because when you put him as a package deal, okay, yeah, I guess you could just say, oh, they both are like this, but if you split them up, it really seems to me like
Moss has more charisma.
No, that Sabatelli is the one that has that gimmick more so than Moss. Okay. So I don't know. I like to see something different out of Moss.
Okay.
Strawberry.
Yeah, we saw them in the Dusty Rhodes Classic last year, baby.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't really do much.
Mm-mm.
Saw them post tournament. They haven't really done much.
Mm-mm.
I'm a car guy, and even I wouldn't have put a Maserati as rich white boy. I would have found something else. Yeah, it's a failed experiment.
Well,
pull the plug before something gets.
Is it rich white boy or rich international playboy? He's supposed to be Italian. That's why he has the Italian car.
Fuck if you care about cars. You're eating donuts.
What? But we're doing a show. I love Rusev Day.
When Owens and Zayn jumped Corbin on SmackDown,
mm-hmm.
were you feeling any sympathy or empathy at all for Corbin? Did that attack turn Corbin's character interesting?
Interesting, yes. Face, no. For once, we see him as the vulnerable one. And I don't think we've ever seen anybody beat him down quite this way in quite this fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So it was interesting from that perspective. Just that, hey, this isn't a guy who normally plays this role. I don't think it's a face turn. It shouldn't be a face turn. Mm-hmm. He really does need to get his revenge. If he doesn't get his revenge, then he's just a little bitch. You know, which is okay. Because, I mean, sometimes you need to have some of those guys on your roster. You know, but I don't know if that's exactly what they had wanted to do with Corbin all this time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, yeah, it lends a little interestingness to it. Of course, you know, it goes on later in that night to have a one-on-one with Kev. Or was it Sammy? No, it was Kev. Yeah. It was Kev. And, you know, he won. So now
and got a pretty decent reaction.
Yeah.
After said victory.
Yeah.
Does what happened on SmackDown make him interesting enough for you to care about what happens to him on next week's episode of SmackDown? Or the fact that he's already in this title match kind of already water it down for you?
No, this is kind of like not a permanent interest, but more of a booster interest, if that makes sense. Like, it's enough to get me interested for this one episode. And if they don't reference it or build on it or make this like something that happens because that happened last week kind of thing, and it's just a one-off thing, it was like, oh, well, that was cool.
Next.
Yeah, next. And like, that's it. So, yeah.
How about Ziggler?
Man, Ziggler, dude, I don't know. I don't know, man. Like,
where are you? What is getting you at this I don't know feeling?
Ziggler tried to cut a promo as though he was a face again,
mm-hmm.
but he still came out with the afterwards, and he still came out like acting all cocky, just fixing the tape and just looking all sullen. So you heal your face, are you a dick, are you not? Are you frustrated? Are you not frustrated? Like, you're back. You jumped in at number 30 and then jumped out at number 31 and a half. So at the Rumble. So what? Like, I don't know.
The promo really threw me off, dude.
Okay.
Well, there was one of Jericho's returns where he didn't speak for like 4 weeks before the Raw before the Rumble and just said like one sentence.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah.
So he got eliminated the way he did at the Rumble. You could have still salvaged that. And I think for me, they lost whatever they could have had left with the promo. Because the promo just, it kind of felt like they went back to status quo. So, all right, then why didn't you just ditch the U.S. title in?
Yeah. I mean, we know why behind the scenes it happened, because he thought he wasn't going to re-sign and it was in his contract. He was probably going to go away. But then he wound up not going away because at the very end, they gave him a nice deal or whatever, so he's back. So, but the kayfabe storyline-wise, man, you could have built off of that. Mm-hmm. And you didn't build off of that. You just kind of left it as it was and kind of ignored it and threw him in the Rumble.
I'm afraid that we have right now, is it 7 weeks before Mania? I'm afraid that 4 weeks from now, Ziggler's gonna reference, oh, by the way, I didn't get beat for the U.S. title. It's like, oh, you went through all this for nothing.
Well, since I didn't get a main event, everything's
everything he did before he even dropped the title is inconsequential.
Or that's his backup plan. Yeah. It's like, well, if I can't get it on the card any other way, then hey, by the way, I stole a U.S. title match. Yeah, I'm still owed a U.S. title match.
But regardless, Corbin and Ziggler are now added to the triple threat, which is now a five pack.
So you get a championship opportunity, and you get a championship opportunity, and everybody gets championship opportunities. Because isn't this the same shit that happened on Raw? You know, basically, we're having a five-way for the title, but we're also on Raw having a five-way for a number one contender, right? What the fuck? Well, for a chance to get into the Elimination Chamber, for a chance to be a number one contender. But yeah, come on, man.
I don't know.
I hate it when Raw and SmackDown do this, where they wind up booking stuff very, very similar, where to the point where they almost have the exact same matches, except plug in wrestler A and plug out wrestler B kind of thing. Because this is the same kind of shit that we would give TNA for back in the day, and say like, TNA is just copying WWE. They must have watched last week. Heard. You know, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, wink. But here, it's like, dude, you're fucking copying yourself, man. Like, what the hell? I mean, yeah, I'm sure a few of those times with TNA, it was just coincidence. I'm sure a few of those
times. Not to mention, they taped TNA episodes like 8 months in a row.
Well, but back when, I'm talking about even further back when they weren't taping. You know, but here it's like, you're the same goddamn company. Are you telling me that the writers all got together, both from Raw and SmackDown, threw on a couple of ideas, and then the Raw team said, hey, we like this that we talked about in the meeting, and the SmackDown team says, hey, we like this.
We came up with it.
Yeah, no.
It like, literally, this is the meeting, Raw and SmackDown. No. Like, I came up with the idea.
No, it's
like,
my idea.
No, it's my idea.
No, it's my idea.
My idea.
Well, I'm going to do it on my show.
Well, fuck it. I come on live first. I'm going to do it first.
We're going to do it better.
It feels like the pay-per-views are kind of running into each other because we're getting most of the same shit. Now that you just mentioned that, it's like, oh my God.
Robert, welcome.
What took you so long?
I don't know. He was late today. At this point, shouldn't the five-way just become a ladder match or an elimination team? Why don't we have two chambers? One at Fastlane. Fastlane, the chamber on the road or some stupid shit.
Chamber on wheels. Oh, well, we could get an end to all that mess soon.
How's that?
Apparently, people that bought tickets for the Backlash pay-per-view in May got emails congratulating them that now it's not only a SmackDown pay-per-view, it's a Raw and SmackDown pay-per-view. Rumor has it that WWE is looking to co-promote all the pay-per-views now.
All so fucking like 16
all
of them?
16 of them are going to be both Raw and SmackDown.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Where did you hear this? News with a Z?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, there's confirmation on the on Ticketmaster that on the listing, they updated that it's now a Raw and SmackDown show. And a lot of emails have gone out.
I don't know how I feel about that. No, I do know how I feel about that. Yeah. I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it either. Dude. You're building up to a pay-per-view every 3 weeks.
A co-branded pay-per-view every 3 weeks. So you may as well forget about the undercard and the mid-card on both Raw and SmackDown. Because you're going to have main event for Raw, main event for SmackDown, co-main event for Raw, co-main event for SmackDown, then women's, and then boom, that's like six matches on your card. What about the U.S. title? What about, you know, the Cruiserweights? What about the Intercontinental title?
Oh,
what
my God.
What about the tag?
Imagine if they make every pay-per-view 4 hours to fit in everybody's shit.
Robert Medlin was late because he was watching U.S. women's hockey.
Hey, well, it has to be better than men's hockey lost to Slovenia. Do you know where that is on a map?
Next to Wakanda?
You're going to get got for that, boy. So apparently pancakes are overrated now. It's all about waffles. I must
waffles
have missed something.
Waffles are the best. Waffles number one.
They're like pancakes with syrup traps.
Yes. Mitch Hedberg reference.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
New Day and Benja Gable chugging along.
I like New Day. That's nothing new. Benja Gable reacting to New Day in the entertaining way that they're doing it, but still like being the buzzkill, works. Like, they're not being right to censor levels of buzzkill, but they're being entertaining levels of buzzkill, and I'm liking it.
Yeah. Does it suck that they lost to New Day in that tag?
Yeah, because I want them to eventually win something and win something of importance. And if
you're talking about Benja Gable.
Yeah, Benja Gable. And if they're just going to get stuck with New Day and Usos, there's only so many times that you can see that. And I think we're already on, like, the second time that they fought the Usos, and this might be the second time that they're going to fight the New Day. They're not stale yet. This isn't
Well, they
Sasha
fought the Ascension
Charlotte
last
yet.
Week, right? Or 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, something like that. But eventually, it's going to get into that Sasha versus Charlotte Everybody, territory, yeah. where it's like, man, I really want to see this. Oh, man, this is going to be good. Oh, they're trading wins back and forth. And they're trading wins back and forth. And they're trading wins back and forth. And they're, oh, God, when's it going to stop?
Like pancakes.
You love all pancakes.
You love them at first, and by the end, you're sick of them. Because you're making this reference that you've already seen this match 19 times, yet on the flip side, they're pushing. We mentioned this for the last couple of weeks. We had that Uso promo that, again, I don't know where they're getting these promo classes from, but they're actually, they got some swagger, some confidence behind them now.
Yeah.
And then all Rowan.
Yeah.
So a match that we had for about 12 and a half months straight a couple years ago, yeah. and now we're going to start to do that all over again.
Yeah.
You ready?
Is a fresh coat of paint enough to make you forget?
But it's on both teams, though, so it helps.
Okay.
These aren't the face-painted Usos. These aren't the Wyatts.
Because I would say the same thing. Because I kind of forgot that that was a thing until it was mentioned that that was a thing. I was like, oh, yeah, they have fought a lot before. But the fresh coats of paint made me forget all about it, which is exactly probably what WWE wanted. They wanted me to forget all about it. You know? And
this
I did.
Is not the team you were looking for.
Yes. It's like, oh, the Bludgeon Brothers. They're brand new. We haven't ever seen them before. Like, wait a second. Yes, we have.
I'm hoping the chemistry is still there between the Usos and the Bludgeon Brothers, because I would love to see the Bludgeon Brothers against Benja Gable.
Yes.
Like Demolition yeah. against the Heart Foundation. You know, yes. Brutes against people that are technical, that know how to take you out.
Mm-hmm.
And Usos being the high fly, flippy dippies, that's fun. Even then, they're grounded a little more than they were before. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's slowly but surely the SmackDown division don't come up again. I'm hoping they figure out what to do with either Ascension or Fashion Files, though. Because we need at least one more of them. And then who else is on there besides those six teams?
Other tags?
Yeah, other tags. We don't have Mojo and Ryder anymore.
No.
It's hard to keep up because 2017 was the year of the divorces, right? All these teams broke up left and right. We had one a month if you did the math. God damn.
I don't know. I can't come up with anybody else on the SmackDown tag division. I don't know. Listeners, help us. Help us here. Who are we forgetting?
Unless it's time to bring somebody up.
Oh, like who? Like who? You got me in suspense. No, you didn't have a fucking plan. You're asking me because you wanted the answer from me.
No, I just wanted to tease you.
You son of a bitch. You son of a bitch.
Let's end SmackDown talk with Jinder. What'd you think of that entire segment? We had
it was kind of cringy. It was cringy,
Rude,
man.
Apparently being the face, but calling out Orton because of he doesn't like Orton's facey stuff. When you don't like the facey stuff, that makes you not a face. And then out came Rusev. Was it
Rusev? But he had a point. He had a point.
Most good heels do.
Okay.
Paul Heyman, 95% of the time.
Okay. Yes, Triple H didn't want to work Tuesdays.
Yeah. And then Jinder finds a way to lay them both out.
Robert Miller says, "Are the cologne?" But anyway, okay, yeah, Jinder.
So the U.S. picture right now with Rude, Orton, Jinder, and I don't know if you want to include Rusev in there, but because of last week,
yeah.
What do you do with this? You just give us Rude versus Orton at Mania?
Man, I don't know. It's
or is it because Mania, we got to fit everybody in something?
Yeah. Man, there's too many five ways, four ways, Elimination Chamber, all these fucking multi-man matches. It's like, fuck, dude. I enjoy a multi-man match just as much as the next guy, if not more. But, man, it's good. It's too much right now, man. Like, pizza's good, but you can't have pizza
every
day.
You're a traditional Valentine's Day person, huh? What? You don't want the polygamy. You want, like, the commitment.
I get it. Are we talking about wrestling?
Eventually, it gets there.
Okay. What? What?
That's SmackDown.
AJ wasn't on the show.
Was Nakamura on the show?
No.
No.
Why? Why weren't they on the show? They should have been on the show. That's going to be a main event for WrestleMania. And they don't want to be on the show. They're your best fucking guys on the fucking thing, and you don't have them. What the hell?
It's been 40 minutes. Can we finally talk about the Braun concert?
Yes. Yes.
Question.
Yes.
Has WWE jumped the shark on the Braun Strowman character?
Fuck no.
Defend yourself.
It's not jumping the shark, because when I think of jumping the shark, I think of, okay, I'm done with this. I am not done with this. I was fucking thrilled and laughing my ass off, and I want to see Braun do more crazy, stupid shit. Like, even though it was silly, which is kind of out of character for Braun, it was still in the character of this Hulk that nobody else normally does. He's flipping over tractor trailers and ambulances and surviving garbage garbage can crushing, truck crushing, whatever, compacting. And like, yeah, he casually walks around with a stand-up bass. Yeah, a stand-up bass. It's like bigger than me. Yeah, of course.
This that's fucking awesome. Bigger than bro.
Yeah. Like it was, you know, just a ham hock. Like, yeah, man, that was fucking entertaining, and that was still quote unquote on brand because of the strength stuff, even though it was a little off brand with the silliness. I was okay with the silliness because he kind of was self-referencing himself a little bit. So even though he's this big brute badass monster among men, he still knows that he could still do his own brand of comedy stuff. It kind of felt like Big Show almost. You know, Big Show, he was always like, oh my God, he's the big guy and he's going to kill everybody. But every now and again, he'll say something stupid. So it humanizes him a little bit more. He's not just some big brute and that's it. He's not one dimensional. It adds a little bit more dimension. You know, the catching of the hands.
But is it too soon to humanize him?
No.
What's his catchphrase?
You're going to catch these hands.
Monster among men.
Oh, that's his tagline.
But the okay. Monster among men that plays bass and laughs and fist bumps kids at the ringside.
If you have a guy that's out there playing guitar and you want to have an equalizer, but a Braun size equalizer, yeah, a stand-up fucking bass. That works, man. I think that's still okay. I don't know. I'm arguing for this, and this is great. I want to see more of it and see more of what he could do. I'm kind of getting a different vibe from you.
I'm just curious. Oh, I'm just curious. Okay. You know,
that's about in the moment to the fire.
In the moment for what it was, I liked it.
Okay.
I'm just curious where they're going to go with this. You know, you're going to make all this effort for me to care about Braun, but you're not going to put him to main event WrestleMania? You know? They're doing all these nice little pretty things to distract from the obvious that, hey, by the way, we're still going to push Roman. We're still going to give you Roman. So bend over and take it and like it.
Look at the flowers. Just look at the flowers.
Just count to 10. By 6, it'll be all over.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the part that bothers me, I think. Feels like a lot of spontaneity gets taken out the window whenever Roman's around. You know, holy crap. By the way, guess what? Roman's going to be in a qualifier this week. Well, who the fuck is he going to beat this week? Because he sure as fuck ain't going to lose.
Do you feel that same way about Asuka? Because when Asuka goes out there and she has a match, like, okay, well, who's she going to beat?
Right now, my issue with Asuka isn't focused at Asuka. My issue right now with Asuka is focused on how they're booking her. because I'm sorry, I have a memory. As much as I drink, I still remember that Asuka's beaten Nia Jax about half a fucking dozen times already. And there's no fucking real reason why Nia needs to be in this match with that she sure as fuck doesn't deserve. You know, I'm right now under the belief that Ronda Rousey versus Asuka for the Raw Women's title can main event this year's WrestleMania.
What? You think so?
6 days. Defending her women's title against a female champion who's beaten women in less than a tout video. In the moment of hashtag time's up and all hail women everything, right now is the time, if you're WWE, to strike the iron when it's the hottest. I don't think there's ever going to be another moment where two women can main event WrestleMania.
Okay.
Like, be the last match of the night. Build that shit like a UFC pay-per-view. Don't even have them face off in the ring. Just do promos where you see, like the old Brock videos when he was having matches against someone and he's just talking shit. You know, build up to that like a UFC fight. Make it feel like that fight's in Vegas and people are betting on it.
Okay.
And the fact that right now they're treating Asuka's Royal Rumble win like, oh, by the way, we could still fuck it up for you because we might throw Nia in there. Your WrestleMania with a loss on her record?
No.
Into the triple threat with the woman that beat her?
No.
Like, it takes away from, like, you're tarnishing the aura that you have right now with Asuka. Goldberg's never gotten this far. Lesnar never got this far. There's so many men and women that haven't gotten to where Asuka is right now in the company, the way she's been built, the way she's been portrayed, the story that's been told. And it feels like now they're starting to cheapen it a little.
Mm.
You know?
Okay, pause right there. Hold on a second. Porsche, Randy, thumbs up or thumbs down on the main event of WrestleMania being Asuka versus Ronda Rousey?
Yeah, I don't really care. That's not exciting.
They got two meh, wow. One meh, and one I don't really care.
Ronda Rousey, I'm not excited about at all.
Ronda Rousey, I'm not excited about.
She needs to prove herself before she's booked for WrestleMania.
In her defense, how many of her fights have you ever seen?
Her last one.
The one where she lost. maybe they're late to the bandwagon.
Yeah, they're late to the bandwagon. But they don't understand why the bandwagon exists.
No, I know why the bandwagon exists, but that's an MMA career. It's not a wrestling career. They're very different things.
Hmm. Okay.
Though Lesnar got the same push when he came back from the UFC.
Oh, fuck. Okay. Don't get her started on Lesnar.
Equally
hate Do not get her started on Lesnar. Right.
They
please,
equally
no.
hate both
okay.
of them. Okay, that makes more
Thank
sense.
Thank you. Maybe we should do another
ladies
episode. HWR Ladies Night episode here pretty soon.
Yeah, tell me that story about that one girl that has everything that shows up to the party and everybody's jealous because they all want what she got. It's usually
that?
How they operate, right?
Who's that? Is that you?
Ronda.
Oh, Ronda
shows up and everybody's like, oh, this bitch. And then they fling their hair.
I don't know if they do. I don't know because I don't know. Randy kind of had a point. She hasn't proven herself in wrestling.
Well, I'm surprised, honestly, by the reaction. But
okay.
But still, like right now, it's just like Charlotte. You see Charlotte main eventing WrestleMania with anyone?
Well, hold on. Robert Uh-oh. Medlin chimed Uh-oh. In on this. He says,
"Please help me out, Robert."
I still say Rousey needs to be in an attraction match first, then ease her into title contention.
And that goes back to my problem with the booking of Asuka.
Yeah.
So they announced on Raw that Ronda Rousey's going to sign pen to paper at the Chamber.
I thought it was on Raw.
Yeah, they announced on Raw that at the Elimination Chamber on the pay-per-view, Ronda's going to sign pen to paper. She's going to sign her contract.
I thought they were saying that she was going to sign on next week's Raw.
No.
Oh.
She's signing at the Chamber.
Well, fuck me.
Eventually.
What?
I say throw her in the fucking Chamber.
Throw her in the Chamber.
Throw Ronda Rousey in the Chamber. Have her leave the Chamber with the belt.
Or
as your women's champion.
No.
And then she earned it because she survived the first Elimination Chamber for women with five other people.
No, this is what you do.
You stick it with Stephanie.
No, you take Alexa out. Because remember that whole bullshit that she, well, not bullshit, but the thing that she was saying, that it was bullshit, that she has to defend her title in the chamber when Brock doesn't have to, and the chamber for the men is just the number one contenders? Why the hell am I in this match? Somebody takes her out, or she gets taken out. Maybe that's why she's trying to piss off Mickey. Like, hey, Mickey, you're my friend. No, you're not. Yeah, you are. No, you're not. Yeah, you are. You know what? Give me $10,000 and take me out of the title match at Elimination Chamber. Oh, I can't fight. And then, all right, fine, we're going to put Ronda Rousey in there. And then Alexa, who still has the title at Mania, versus whoever wins the chamber, which will probably be, I don't know, Rousey. So Rousey versus Alexa at Mania, not main event.
That's assuming Asuka goes to SmackDown, because remember, oh, Asuka won the Rumble.
Okay, well then Alexa versus Asuka. What? Asuka versus Rousey?
He's gone. Wait, he's gone.
This,
he's
how's
gone.
This happening? I don't get it. Who's?
Was that as that 30 seconds, was that as confusing as the ending of Raw with two winners?
Oh, that wasn't confusing at all. Right when it happened that way, I was like, all right, so they're both going to be in the chamber. So we're going to have seven people in the chamber. So instead of starting one-on-one, it's going to start with a three-way.
You don't want to milk that. You have a week of Raw. This wasn't your go-home. You have 1 week to have Finn versus Seth, and the winner is your last person. You don't want to do that?
Like, that's what they're going to do.
It didn't surprise me that Bray was the one that took
the I know, right? And then,
come on.
What was it, like an hour later, Kurt was saying on social media, hey, this is what we're going to do. And yeah. I was like, yeah, yeah, we kind of all saw that coming. So I'm not surprised.
Unless they both share a pod.
Can you imagine if Elias and Braun share a pod? They share a pod.
With the instruments, and they're playing. It's like the Titanic. You know you're about to die, so you're going to serenade them to their grave.
Braun has a big stand-up bass and a jug. So you just...
Start the hootenanny. Yeah.
Oh, Lord. I want to walk with Elias.
Miz enters number one.
Number one, because he lost to Mr. John Cena. So Cena's not going to be number one.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That's your dude. I'm waiting for a reaction because that's your guy that's going to be number one.
I doubt that Miz is going to be the Iron Man in this and like come in at number one and get all the way through the chamber and win it. No, that's not going to happen.
Which sucks because the more that the Miz talks about it, the more intrigued I am of the possibility of Miz actually wrestling Brock Lesnar.
And the more intrigued I'm about Miz just going back to the main event of WrestleMania. When he did it, you know, back at WrestleMania 28, everyone, oh, that guy shouldn't
27.
Be in the, or even more so. Oh, he shouldn't be in the main event. This is bullshit, this and that. And then, like, hey, I'm here. You better deal with it. And then, nah, we don't have to deal with it. And then adios, and everyone hated The Miz.
Yeah.
And I felt like I was the only Miz mark in the entire fucking world until last year. And it's like, okay, cool. I'm waiting for him to get his second chance to be where he should have been this entire time. And I don't think you're going to do it with Braun and with him having the Intercontinental title and the feud with Roman and this and that. The time's not right, but I want that time to be right.
Would you throw Miz on SmackDown?
After Mania? Maybe. After Mania. Have him get rid of the Intercontinental title. Have there be a fucking draft or something. And then he shows up on the blue.
Imagine the main event picture right now. AJ, Nakamura, Owens, Zayn, Miz.
That's a nice roster. That's a very indie friendly roster, mm-hmm. Which is kind of cool for the blue brand, because I remember back during the first brand split, that was the brand that, like, you know, you had your Triple H's and your Batistas on Raw, but you had your
Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah, your Eddie Guerrero, Rey Mysterio. Edge, you know, the guys that like should be main eventers, but not the guys that like hardcore wrestling fans like a little bit more than just the big guys. So I don't know. I can see that there's that difference there where SmackDown's probably trying to gear more towards the hardcore audience, whereas Raw with the big name is trying to be more of the traditional type of things that Vince likes.
Where do you go with Broken Matt? Woken Matt, whatever.
I don't know, man, because I feel like they've been starting this storyline for 3 months now. They're at that beginning stages where they're just introducing the Woken character and they're having the backstage, you know, crazy promos. But that isn't what made Broken Matt Broken Matt. Yeah, sure, he had crazy promos, but he did it in different settings. Where he showed up was fucking weird. You know, what he did in those settings was weird. The ancillary characters to the Broken Universe was what made it even more awesome. Señor Benjamin, Vanguard One, you know, even Rebby and King Maxwell, you know, all of them made it what it was. But this is like just Matt, only Matt, not even fucking Brother Nero. You know, Jeff is nowhere to be found. And it's just Woken Matt. And what is Woken Matt? A guy who looks at the camera, cuts promos where you don't know what the hell he's saying. And he's just like, yes, and that's it. Which,
and a couple of, oh.
Yeah, which is a good sliver of it. And he's doing well at doing it. It's just he's not getting the opportunities to do everything else. It's like you go to a really great pizza place that's usually pretty expensive. Or Italian food place that's expensive, and they have a special. Okay, cool. What's the special? Oh, $5 for a pizza. Okay, cool. And you show up, and it's like, man, this place has really amazing garlic bread. They have good salads, and they have this and that and all that. You show up, and you're like, hey, I'm here for the special. Okay, the special is just one slice of pepperoni, and that's it. Like, oh, well, I thought I was going to get the garlic bread and the wine list and the badass salad and the dippy stuff with the oil and the shit in it. Like,
you're hungry, aren't you?
I'm actually not hungry, but this is how I'm trying to relate it. You know, mm-hmm. It's like you're getting the special for just the one specific little thing that's on special, and you don't get all the extras and the fixings, you know?
I think they should have taken advantage of Jeff being injured and spent the first 2 or 3 months reintroducing the character the way it's been done before, just the way you said it. Have it at the compound. Have the new universe introduced to what a Broken Matt is, what a Brother Nero is, what a King Maxwell is. You know, Hardy putting the batteries on his brand new Vanguard. You know, something.
Yeah.
You know, bring us all, catch everyone up to speed. And they start, because I bet even now, Matt Hardy's been on the brand. Whether he's woken for 10 months.
Yeah.
And I bet there's still people asking, why is he doing this?
Yeah.
What's this delete stuff? Like, yeah. Because they're not reintroducing the casual fans to what this is. Mm-hmm. They're just going with whatever history it has and just running with it instead of reintroducing people.
Well, they're not even taking advantage of the history. They're just doing one part of it. It's like, okay, if you don't like my food analogies, let's go with the car analogy. The car analogy is they have this amazing vehicle that has 500 fucking horsepower, but they just are only putting it in second gear and they're going 30 miles an hour all over the city. It's like, man, no, put some fucking stank on it. Step on the gas. Switch it into third, fourth, fifth gear. Come on, do all that. But no, they're not. They're just staying right where they are. Just, you know, whatever. It's like, you know. I mean, they tried to do a little bit of the stuff that makes it unique with
Playing chess with the fish.
That could have been a new character. You know, somebody that wasn't of the old TNA Broken Universe, but still another fucking weird ass thing that he does with the universe, the fish. What was the fish's name?
Napoleon.
Napoleon. Yeah. Okay. Napoleon the fish. Well, I saw him one time. Why isn't Matt talking to Napoleon for every other week or one time? Go out there with a big fucking little.
Turn it into the fish from American Dad.
Oh God! I say come out with a little bowl with it right there, and he sets it at ringside on a little podium that they put the fucking title belts on, and there's the fish, and he's getting his ass whooped, and he goes up there and he talks to Napoleon about strategy, and then goes back in the ring
for the hot tag. Tag me, Napoleon. Yeah. Tag me.
Like, yeah. I mean, you can't tell. Was Vanguard One the Lake of Reincarnation, Señor Benjamin, and like that's it. And, like, he's just out of ideas. And now that he's supposed to be coming up with more stuff, he just isn't coming up with it. You can't tell me that. He's got to be coming up with other stuff. It's just WWE isn't okaying it. Mm-hmm. Or saying, hey, let's do this and that. Hey, you have permission to do this and that. Or go for it. Like, he's just there kind of idling. And it kind of sucks.
The plan was not
That, sir, is not a downer.
No.
No.
Why?
The match was good. Match of the week candidate for me. I thoroughly enjoyed the match. It sort of reminded me on what Sheamus could have been and what's... because we all know Roman is the hand-chosen picked guy, you know? And yeah, sure, he's lost a lot this year, and it's been a while since he's really been earnestly shoved down our throats. But for the most part, he's the main man, Roman is. But I never felt 100% that way about Sheamus,
even though they tried skin pigmentation.
Well, I don't think it has anything to do with the skin pigmentation. If anything, that makes him unique and different and look different. But they made him champ a couple of times. He won King of the Ring. He did this and that. But now he's just in this tag team with Cesaro, which that's a good tag team. Sheamus and Cesaro are good. It's just I want more for both of them. And Sheamus, man, when he was a nasty, vicious heel who didn't talk all that much on WWE ECW when he killed fucking Jamie Noble, like
Mark Cuban.
Yeah, Mark Cuban. Like, I think that they could reinvent that and redo it again and like make him be
oh man
vicious and unstoppable and just bro kicking everybody and like nobody could beat him.
That's a flashback, you know? Man. I remember being in the crowd for TLC where Sheamus beat Cena for the WWE title and their kids in the audience crying. Oh man, that takes me back. Yeah, I'm in the same boat, man. I like the bar. Sheamus is okay, but god damn, dude, we've been wanting Cesaro to break out of whatever glass ceiling he's been in for like ever. Yeah.
And if they don't, they're gonna get stuck in Ziggler territory.
Yeah.
I gotta go back a little bit here because Robert Medlin said something funny. It's like going to see Maiden and only getting songs from their new album.
Oh, that's fucked up, man. That new album's okay.
But if you go to see Maiden and that's all they're playing, that kind of sucks.
Or if that's the only time they play it and you're at one of a lifetime show.
Okay, what if you go to Metallica and all they play is Saint Anger?
I love Saint Anger.
Right, but if that's all they play, I want to hear them fucking play one.
Yeah, knowing that
they play Master of Puppets.
Knowing that they don't play Saint Anger live all the time, if ever, then I'll be that guy to be like, holy crap, I was there to that one time they played Saint Anger live.
Yeah, never mind. Just don't listen to this guy. Is it time to break up the bar? I think so. I think so too, Robert. Yeah, it's time to break up the bar. If you do something with the guys as individuals, if you break them up and just let them flounder around and not even get Intercontinental title championships, then no. But break them up and push them? Yes. Yes.
Not yet.
Oh.
Here's why.
Why?
Because we had this conversation earlier.
Why?
Sheamus and Cesaro against the Bludgeon Brothers, against Benji Gable.
Ship them off to
and then that's where you separate them. Okay. So you have Cesaro in the main event roster with
AJ Shinsuke Styles.
Nakamura, AJ Styles, Kevin Owens,
yeah.
Sami Zayn, Dolph Ziggler, if you finally build the fucker up.
Robert says you could be sending Bobby Roode in exchange for The Miz. Think that'll work? Roode on.
Work? Yeah.
Yeah.
Send Roman to SmackDown.
Send Roman to the UK division.
To the show that hasn't even been done yet.
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
Dude. One of those weeks, man. It's one of those weeks where you're waiting for the next pay-per-view.
Yeah.
This feels like.
Yeah.
It's going on that doesn't make sense. And then there's a lot of stuff that it's like getting a salad when you know the steak is coming. Like, just give me the fucking steak already. Mm-hmm. You know, and even not so much WrestleMania, there's some pretty intriguing stuff on Elimination Chamber that I'm curious to see how it plays out. Mm-hmm. There's some interesting stuff on SmackDown where I want to see how it plays out. But I want to get there already. And the fact that we're waiting this long with stuff that, like right now, for me, must-see on Tuesday is a mixed match challenge. And since I don't get enough of my SmackDown viewing through Mixed Max Challenge, I actually make an effort to watch 205 the last couple of weeks. Okay. You know, and Raw, a lot of it, I'm fast forward.
Okay.
Yeah, man. So it's just another one of those weeks. Okay. So next week is a go home for Chamber. So that's going to be interesting.
Yeah. All right. Couple of things. First off, ROW this weekend is having their all women's event. It's going to be a single elimination tournament, right, Porsche?
Actually, it's just going to be just a showcase. It's not going to be a tournament.
Oh, it's not a tournament, but the whole card is all ladies, right?
All the ladies.
All the ladies.
Any men dressed as ladies?
Billy Kevin might make a comeback.
Oh, shit.
Ooh. So all women's.
He just lost the custom.
I believe they're dubbing it as Ladies Night, correct?
Galentine's Day.
Ladies Night Out.
Ladies Night Out. Sorry, Ladies Night Out. So, yes. Come on.
If you get lost, if you're in the area, just smell the summer's eve. You'll find your way.
Yeah. So, yeah, ROW, that's this weekend starting at 7 on Saturday night. So, starting at 7, right? Got that right, right?
Yeah, starting at 7, meet and greet at
5.
Meet and greet
at 5. That's enough about ROW. All right. How about DZW?
The next DZW show will be the following Saturday. So, yeah, come out to that. 1812 Avenue D, Katy, Texas, also known as Olympus Arena. So, we also have a listener who texted into the Facebook page on the show saying that he has an extra ticket to this weekend's
Wrestle Circus in Austin.
Yeah, Wrestle Circus in Austin. And the ticket is front row, and it has a meet and greet and a T-shirt. He originally purchased it for $81. He said he's willing to part with it for $70 because he can't make it out to the show. So if you know somebody, let us know. Hopefully he hasn't sold the ticket yet, and I'll get y'all in contact with him. So what else is going on this weekend? I feel like there was another thing.
Chamber,
yeah.
There's $60 tickets on StubHub if you want a cheap weekend in Vegas.
Oh, it's in Vegas.
Yeah.
Vegas, baby.
Why do you think that explains Ronda Rousey signing her contract in Vegas across the street from the MGM Grand?
Aero Lucha. That's right. Aero Lucha's this weekend in Humble, Texas. Johnny Mundo is going to be there.
Videos. I'm not sure if Ray's actually going to be there because, you know, the bottom card table to change.
Yes. Yeah. But it will be interesting.
It can't be any worse than Magnus defending the NWA title against Ellsworth, right?
That happened, huh?
Yeah. Figment of my imagination.
Yeah. Ellsworth getting an NWA world title shot.
Yeah.
I guess Magnus.
You would think that WWE contract, he could have at least afforded a chin. A prosthetic or something. Haven't you seen Me, Myself, and Irene? You can actually have one with a butt crack in it.
Oh,
you sneeze and wipe your ass at the same time.
Yeah, Robert Medlin says kind of interested in Aero Lucha and Humble. There you go.
Doomsday.
Doomsday's this weekend too?
Yes.
Fucking fuck, man. All right, so that's Doomsday, ROW, Ladies Night, Aero Lucha, all in the same night. Mm-hmm. Well, there's not a lack of wrestling out there, folks. So go out. Go see something.
Yeah.
And then the next weekend, come out and see DZW.
Yeah. That's it, man. Let's go home.
Adios, my friends.
I think you missed a couple of notes there.
Did I?
Yeah. But there we go!
Whoa!